This is Max Crosby, the Las Vegas Raiders, and you're listening to JT the Brick on Raider Nation Radio.
It's the JT the Brick Show.
You know, obviously it means a lot to me being a part of the Silver and Black alone. You know, the history. I've said it a million times. I feel like I was meant to be a Raider. I love being here.
Your Silver and Black home to sound off for over 25 years.
It's amazing, you know, opportunity, great community here, and, you know, great fan base. So I'm expecting a lot of fun, a lot of energy, you know, a lot of great times.
It's going to be all about competition, and there's going to be no easy games in our division.
And now here's JT the Brick.
Wow. Wow, what a great first hour of the show. It's hour number two on the flagship of the Silver and Black Raider Nation Radio. We are brought to you by La Casa Cigars and Lounge at Tivoli Village. As we open up hour number two of the show, we got a big hour lined up. We're supposed to be joined by Todd Marinovich. He's got a book out here. The former Raider quarterback's going to join us, Jesse Merrick. Also, another talented podcaster, Wasted Talent, is going to jump in here and join us. So we got a lot happening here, man. This is going to be cool. And the first hour, we had Don Van Adder on, the ESPN senior writer, on John Gruden versus the NFL, Vinny Bonsignore, and Raider Dad. Maybe they can put this, Bobby, and give this show to a Marconi nominee or something, man. We are hitting it big today. So I appreciate everybody who's watching the show. I was very active today on YouTube. Before the show, I was on two different shows on KMBR and with Larry Kruger and Damon Bruce, breaking down the Niners and the Raiders. That game is coming up on Saturday. So that's where we stand with all of that as we wait on Todd Marinovich to check in here, too. The Raider-Niner game is interesting. The Niners are banged up. They're coming here, I would assume, today, tonight, and they'll be here, and then they'll have that joint practice tomorrow. With all the injuries they have and all the starters that are hurt, I don't know how we're going to see the competition level. I know it's going to be intense competition from the Raiders' side. The Raiders are going to be really ready to go. Because I believe the Raiders have to play well. The Raiders have to be ready to go. They have to be ready to go for this practice. This is their biggest practice of the year. The biggest practice of the year. Period. And the game, I'm not going to say the game's more important than Seattle or Arizona, but I'm guessing, and I'll find out more this week, if the starters are going to play more. See, the Raiders lost 10 games in a row last year. Now they have a new regime. The new regime would like to see this team play some good football. Well, how are they going to do that? They can do that in camp, and we've all reported camp's been pretty good. Overall, camp has been very good. The game wasn't very good in Seattle, especially the first quarter. Okay, that doesn't mean camp isn't going swimmingly nice. It is. But this practice is going to be important because you're going to have insiders. Our broadcast team is going to be there. There's going to be NFL insiders who are going to be here for that. And they're going to look at the matchups. And they all have Twitter, X. And they're going to tweet out if the Raiders did good or bad or how good the Niners did. So we're going to know by this time tomorrow how the Raiders looked in their joint workout. I hope they work good, look good. And then depending on what happens at that workout and how hard they play, maybe that'll affect the minutes as we see on Saturday coming up here. But Pete's all about competition. He took him out of pads today because he's got a padded joint practice tomorrow. That makes a lot of sense. So what do you want to see tomorrow if you're going to practice? And if you are going to practice, I will see you there. I'll be there on the sideline. I hope you're coming to the practice tomorrow. I hope you're coming if you got a chance to get a ticket and go, because this is going to be a big one. This is one of the marquee practices in the entire NFL. And when we're able to see that and watch it, I think we'll have a lot of answers, and we'll be able to talk about a lot of different things here. So if you're going tomorrow, let me know. 702-365-9200 is the number, and I'm looking forward to it. I want to see what the competition looks like. I want to see who's going to guard Kittle. That's what I want to see. I want to see who's going to guard Kittle, and if Kittle's going to step up and play well. And you know, I think this is a time where we're in a position where we got to get rolling here and we got to have some really good games and performances because these are professional paid football players and they have to do a good job. And if they don't do a good job, all it's going to do is get Raider fans worked up that they're not doing the right thing, which might not be the case. You know, if the Raiders have a bad performance in a quarter of a game, I'm not going to freak out because Pete Carroll's got control of the team. But if they don't play well in the regular season for two or three games, then we're going to have something to talk about here. Shedeur Sanders strained oblique while warming up today. How is that possible? Won't practice tomorrow, unlikely to play against the Eagles. Strained oblique. A young kid in great shape gets an opportunity of a lifetime and he can't play with a strained oblique. You got to be kidding me on that. So when it comes to this, these are really big storylines. Todd Marinovich, former Raider quarterback, USC legend, kind enough to join us. Alumni weekend coming up. And Todd, congratulations on the book coming right out of the gate. Number one bestseller, 2 weeks running. No signs of slowing down. How excited are you?
Oh, it's a surprise and super grateful. And I'm the team of me and Lizzie together just worked out well.
Yeah, this is a great teammate. When you write a book and you have a writer you trust, was that the key here going down the road here, that you were going to talk to someone who was going to give your story and your voice, and you really trusted the process and the timing was right for you?
Exactly. You hit it on the head. It was all about timing. And I ran into Steve Wright, an offensive lineman, when I played. And what an outstanding human he is. And when he said he got married and he introduced me to his wife, Lizzie, and they just finished writing his book, he says, "Why don't you do it?" And I went, "Well, I trust Steve, and so I trust Lizzie." And it just, like I said, everything just fell into place.
Yeah, fabulous. I have it, and I'm going through it now. Again, congratulations on this. I'm going to jump around, but I wanted to talk about your sobriety and fighting through addiction. And where are you at currently in this stage of your sobriety and your life and where you're at and how at peace you are as we talk today?
Well, I'm a work in progress. When I think I got it, it's very, very dangerous. And so, you know, it's cliche, but truly is one day at a time. And all I do really have is right now. And so if I can stay in that mindset, my day goes pretty good. Mm-hmm. It's just being consistent. It can be a grind. And I couldn't do it without the people around me. That's 100%.
So are you someone in recovery that really cares a lot and needs your support staff? Like, you're someone who's come to the point where you don't want to do it alone because it's too tough. And I know a lot of people who are in treatment or in sobriety that they need a great team around you. Is this the best time in your life with your team and your support staff around you?
Yeah, and it's the same out. I really, the analogy of, I wouldn't go out onto the Coliseum field by myself and take on the New York Giants. It would be ridiculous. So it's the same thing with recovery. Why would I? And it's just more fun. I mean, if I could do it by myself, why would I? But I can't. So I need people.
Todd Marinovich is our guest. Todd, T, the early years of your life when your dad and his connection to the Raiders and Al Davis, and I want to get to Mr. Davis and Mark in a bit here, but when you were training as a young boy with your diet and your prep, have we ever seen anything like that? Because a lot of people have reached out to you about the training that you had and how aggressive it was when you were a young boy, and it got you to the NFL and to an elite status in college, and I'm sure you'd like to look back and give people advice on the good and bad and all that. And really, as you wrote the book, what was so intense about being Todd Marinovich at 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old?
Sorry, you broke up. What was what about being
What was so intense about that as a young boy with your routine, your diet, your preparation, your parents, your guidance to try to get you to where it was? Do you have regrets from that? Or at some points, do you look back and say some of it worked out to get you to USC?
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know which things that I did were the turning point for me. And I just did a lot of stuff with my dad. And, it's hard to say. Mm-hmm. And you asked about intensity. You haven't met Marv. He is very, very off the charts intense. And to a fault, and a perfectionist, which he's passed on to me. Mm-hmm. It's difficult. Marv challenges his athletes, and the thing about him, he really can't differentiate between a seven-year all-pro guy and a kid going into the second grade. It's just all or nothing. And so it was an experience, and I think that, you know, some of the stuff that he came up with, it really changed me athletically. And I don't know if I could have done it without it. I don't know if I could have reached the heights that I did or the level that I did without that kind of training, because I was athletic and I had some football in my genes, but would that be enough? You never know.
Todd Marinovich is our guest. At the height of your high school career in the early years at USC, when do you think you were at your best? The UCLA game, was there a moment where you walked off the field, your dad's there, the press is there, and you said, oh my God, I've hit the pinnacle, even though you were going to get better, but you were in the zone? Were you one of those athletes that knew when you were in the zone at times and you were at your absolute best?
Sure. I just wish I could get in there more often and at will. And that's the key. And especially if the bigger the game, I truly like to shine in those big games. And you mentioned probably one of my best games against UCLA, but it's moments. I have never really been in a whole game in the zone. Mm-hmm. But what a magical place that is. And you don't get there unless you spend the time. And that's what gave me confidence, because I prepared for so many years.
Hey, Todd, I wanted to ask you about Mr. Davis, because he always loved gifted athletes. He liked speed, and your dad's relationship with him. When did Mr. Davis come on your radar? And, you know, we're looking back at the most influential draft picks in Raider history, and you were a very memorable pick for the Raiders in L.A. and Al Davis. Can you give us an Al Davis story when he walked up to you on the field, or you had a conversation that you can really share with us?
You know, Mr. Davis, I was a big fan, because pretty much, you know, everybody knows he's the one making the decisions on draft day. So I was extremely grateful and honored, truly, to be taken in the first round by the Raiders. And so the way my career ended with them, it was a hard thing for him to experience. And when was that day that he called me in to say, I got to let you go? Mm-hmm. He was devastated.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, the relationship, the history with the family. Todd, as we wrap it up, when, you know, my wife was given tours at the stadium for years, and she would take people by your art. And I want to talk about the evolution of your art and Mark Davis. Mark Davis really understood your art and what your art looked like and how important it would be in Allegiant Stadium. How proud are you of your artwork and a lot of it that's in Allegiant Stadium now?
Yeah, that's all Mark Davis. I don't know if I truly got the concept once a Raider, always a Raider. But man, Mark lays out the red carpet for any player that has played a down or 10 years. It didn't matter. And that reunion is really something special. And my art with them kicked off after my first reunion. And they've just been so supportive, giving me confidence and a great venue to display my art. I don't think there's a better gallery.
Yeah, absolutely. You should be really proud. Your artwork is exceptional, and I got a chance to see you at the reunions. Todd, last one. The book is out. It's doing well. Connect with our audience on why they should buy this book. What is the hook to the book and how it can change lives?
Well, you don't have to be a football fan to read the book. You don't have to be a male. I mean, if you have a family or a friend that maybe is struggling through addiction, this might give you some insight into it. Also, an insight for parents. If they have an athletic child, are they going to what route are they going to go? Mm-hmm. Is it going to be all year around one sport, or like I believe, play as many as you can and mix it up, because each sport will add to the next. Mm-hmm. I think basketball is the greatest game that I played that helped my game on the football field, mm-hmm. without a doubt. And it just kills me when I hear that today. It's kind of normal that kids are just playing one.
Yeah.
And they're missing a big experience, because it's truly all about experience and relationships. When I go to these reunions, we don't talk about the score or what. It's just connecting, because we connected 30-some years ago, and that's for life.
Outstanding. Are you coming in for reunion weekend? Will we see you out here?
I'm not going to be able to make it this year, but, man, I'll miss it. It's a highlight every year.
Well, hopefully we get you out here for a game, because, again, you're in the gallery. Your art is featured all over. You're a big part of the Davis legacy. And thanks for doing this, Todd. Keep going well with the book. And anytime you want to talk to Raider fans, please come on the show. They love you.
Oh, I really appreciate it. And have a great day, guys.
You're right. Todd Marinovich. How about that? So Todd's led a troubled life, but he's in a good place now, hopefully. And the book is out, and I just got the book, and I started going through it for the interview, and I'll go through it more. I mean, when you only have 15 minutes with someone to talk about, I could do an hour, and I probably will, on a podcast about what it was like when his dad, Marv, was pushing him so hard in the lab, in the garage, to be a perfect human being. Only could eat certain things, when he could eat it, the weights, how often, and it worked. But what cost did it work out mentally to have a deep effect on Todd later in his life with addiction? And that's a personal issue that a dad and a son have to come through. No doubt about that. But a fascinating guy, really successful artist, and Mark's got his art at Allegiant Stadium. If you're in the club section or anywhere in the stadium, ask someone, or if you go on a tour, to say, take me to Todd Marinovich's art. I think you'll be really impressed. I'm impressed when I was on with Wasted Talent on his podcast a couple of weeks ago. He's really knowledgeable as a Raider fan, and I wanted to get him up here on the flagship. Wasted Talent, thanks a lot. Let's begin with your preseason so far. How's it going on your channel? What are you thinking about the Raiders and everything that's happening so far in training camp?
Man, JT, first of all, thank you for having me on. And secondly, you know, when it comes to preseason, I am just kind of floored with the culture change of the Raiders, right? Like, it kind of feels like adults are running the organization. And now, you know, watching the last preseason game, you know, it was a little sloppy, 10 penalties, you know, that 23-23 tie. I'm just so excited to see what the Raiders can do against the 49ers, man. I think this is a true test of how much of a leap we've made this offseason.
Where do you stand on Jackson Powers Johnson most likely moving to guard instead of center?
You know, at first I was a little apprehensive about it because of how well he played in the second half of last year. But listening to, you know, Lincoln Kennedy, listening to guys like, you know, Richie Incognito, which is really my comp for Jackson Powers Johnson when he's come out of Oregon. He reminds me a lot of Richie Incognito. I think schematically the issues that he's having, but him not being the center, is the fact that, you know, maybe he's not grasping, you know, all of the calls and stuff. And when you talk about a center, they're essentially the quarterback of the offensive line. And if he's not grasping all of the techniques and the concepts, to me, it's probably better that he does play guard, right? Because Jordan Meredith has made some big strides this offseason. It seems like Chip Kelly and Pete Carroll really, really trust him. And, you know, being how intricate the offense that Chip Kelly runs, we can't have any issues with the exchange between the center and the quarterback. So, you know, I'm all for it. And I think later on in Jackson Powers Johnson's career, if he wants to play center, once he gets more into his studies, I think he will make that ascension to center at another time. But I think this is the best for him. It's all about putting the best five guys out there to protect Geno.
Wasted Talent joins us. Wanted to get him on the show. We'll have him on the show more often. I think he has a unique take as a fan and a podcaster for what we're seeing here with the Raiders. Are you on board with this Pete Carroll secondary size and strength? He wants a certain player to look a certain size and strength, hand side, and Ja'Corian Bennett is gone, and they're going to go with Darian Porter, a converted wide receiver who looks like he's been flashing a corner.
Yeah, I'm totally on board with it. I mean, if you look back at the past, right, you can kind of see how the future is going to be. And when you look back at Darian Porter, to me, it reminds me a lot of what happened in Seattle with Tariq Woolen and what also happened with Richard Sherman. And I don't like to put the Richard Sherman comp on him too much because it's a Hall of Fame player eventually, but you can't help but to look at the similarities there. Similar size, both converted wide receivers, and both guys that Pete Carroll relied on early on in their careers. You know, like the archetype of the Legion of Boom kind of corner and secondary is something that I'm very, very happy about, because these wide receivers in the National Football League, these guys are becoming, you know, like unstoppable. The tight ends, the wide receivers, they're so big and physical and talented. You have to have somebody that can kind of mirror that kind of level of physicality and size. You know, you don't have a lot of wide receivers that are, you know, below 6'2". That are really making noise in the National Football League. So, you know, to me, this archetype is going to be the future of what everybody else is probably going to do.
So give me some expectations for you this year. You connect with a lot of fans and your audience there. When you look at this team and the fans really feeling like the last couple of years have been tough, and they have been tough, high expectations and letdowns, why do you feel like this season could be different?
I mean, one, because of the way the roster's built, and two, because – you know, going into last season, right, we had so many question marks, and we have question marks this year, right? But the one question mark that we don't have is at the top. And everything starts from the top. We know that Pete Carroll is an excellent coach. We don't have to guess. We don't have to surmise. We know Pete Carroll is an excellent head coach on every level of football, right? So that begins and ends right there with me. You know, even when we go back to the Josh McDaniels time, when we go back to Antonio Pierce, we did not know what we were getting from a head coach perspective. We know schematically, we know from a culture perspective that the Raiders are ready to go, and we have a top-notch situation. And we have a top-notch situation when you're talking about the front office and John Spytek. And another reason why is I just feel like the level of competition at every level of this roster, just by virtue of the fact that they're even willing to move Jackson Powers Johnson from center to guard, shows me everything I need to know about what's going on in the organization right now. You know, it's all competition. And one thing I wanted to touch on real quick is the fact that they have reached back into the Al Davis bag of tricks, and they've brought in guys who were high draft picks, guys who were, you know, very, very talented, and guys are getting a chance to resurrect their careers with the Raiders. And that is a humongous, you know, to me, reason why I feel like the Raiders are going to get a much better result. Guys like Jamal Adams, you know, Devin White. I'm really, really looking forward to seeing how these guys can resurrect their career here with the Raiders.
Awesome. Tell everybody about your backstory, how you got into Raider World, the podcasting, how everybody can follow you, and we'll have you on again. What's the backstory?
The backstory, you know, I grew up a Raider fan. Our family from the Bay Area, you know, my dad and my grandfather made me a humongous Raider fan. It's always been a great joy in my life. And I got into podcasting. I got sick during COVID. I was home, you know, for the first time in my life, because I'm, you know, hardworking guy, home for the first time in my life. And I kind of got into, you know, watching, you know, Raider YouTube. And, you know, I had connected with some of the guys on Raider YouTube, and my show took off, and it's just become a great joy to me. You know, like I'm a lineman. I've been at my job for 25 years, you know, so I've never really had a whole lot of time to do this. And once I got sick during COVID and I was home for a few months, I started my podcast and I hit the ground running. And it's really saved my life. You know, it was something that I needed in my life, because, you know, us as men, sometimes we work, we provide, we do all the things for our families that we do. We don't put ourselves first, and we don't look at things that we find enjoyment in. And since I started this show, man, it's really, really been just a great love of mine, and I'm really looking forward to my platform growing. And, you know, I'm on YouTube, Raider Nation Unlimited, Waste of Talent Raiders on YouTube. And, you know, hey, if anybody's out there listening, please come on over, hit that subscribe button, and pull up. We go live every day at 6:15 EST and 3:15 PST.
Awesome. I knew when I was on yours that we had to have you on. We'll continue to have you on, especially when these games are really starting and they mean a lot. And you got an audience that we want to have here on our show, and same with our show going to your audience. So thanks for doing this, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Thanks for having me, JT. I appreciate you.
You got it. Wasted talent. I like doing this, man. That's what I want part of my legacy to be, to put people on the radio who should be on the radio. Wasted talent. I was on his podcast couple of weeks ago, and I told my wife, I said, man, I was on with someone who was really good. He was prepared. He had great questions. He's got a good audience. I said, let's get him on this show, right? And we added him to the show here. So we got to add people every once in a while, and we added him because, as you can tell, he's really good. Really good. And I wanted to hear what he had to say today. And he, all opinions account here. Coming up next, Jesse Merrick. So Jesse was formerly with News 3. Now he's out on his own. I love that story for him. I think that's going to be big. And we'll talk to him about what he sees at camp. Another grinder at camp who's there every day, who could see something that you need to hear about. We'll get to him coming up next. Thanks to M Resort, the official hotel of the Silver and Black. M Resort Spa and Casino. Head on out to the Raiders Tavern and Grill.
Oh, we love it. Me and Brock love it too. We absolutely love it. I think it's about understanding exactly what we're trying to do with the play and do what he's asking you to do. You know, In Chip's offense, all 11 have to be on the same page at all time. And I think that's something we're working on still, but all 11 have to be on the same page. You got to know your assignment. You got to know where you're supposed to be. And they want us playing fast, man, and we've been playing fast. And we're going to keep playing fast. We're going to keep learning. We're going to keep, installing some stuff and learn some new things. And then from there, keep repping it and keep getting better at it.
Michael Mayer, who's a great interview. When am I going to interview Big Mike? I thought I had dibs on Big Mike. Summerlin South 5, Illinois nothing. Oh, look at this. What a great way to bring in Jesse Merrick, who's got a new platform here. And before we get to Raiders, Jesse, you've been covering sports out here for a while. Big story with Summerlin South at the Little League World Series. He's not there. He dropped. All right, we'll get him up here in a second. Jesse Merrick is going to join us momentarily. Again, Summerlin South on top of Illinois, 5-0, top of the fifth. Summerlin South is in the field now, and they got a 3-0 count against them and a walk. When you're up 5-0, you do not want to walk the leadoff batter. I don't care if you're playing Little League or professional. You don't walk a batter on four pitches, but these are kids that are in, young kids, so I shouldn't be raising my voice. So that's what we'll do here. So we're getting this thing going. So Illinois down 5-0 to Nevada. As we wait on Jesse Merrick here. What a show today. Thanks to Wasting Talent, who just joined us, as we're keeping an eye on all of this, all the sports that happen. And tomorrow I'll be at practice all day. Friday we're broadcasting. Obviously, we'll do the broadcast from the Raiders. So Jesse Merrick joins us. He's got a brand new platform. Jesse, I was saying, Nevada up 5-0 on Illinois. The kids from Summerlin South looking good.
Yeah, hey, you got to love that, man. It's always cool every year as it rolls around when one of these local teams make it to the Little League World Series. Like, the towns obviously rally around it, and it's just fun because, like, Vegas is a really solid baseball town. I think a lot of people don't realize that. And so, like, seeing these kids come up through the ranks and get that opportunity has been really fun over the years, and I always enjoy checking it out.
Tell me about your new platform and the journey you're on here. You did great work at News 3 LV, and now you're going out on your own here, which I'm really excited for you on because I see you at all the practices. You're grinding. You're always putting out content. How did that come about?
Yeah, you know, for me, and I appreciate the kind words there, man. You know, I've definitely been grinding. But for me, you know, I'm a football nutcase. Anybody that knows me knows that. And, you know, as much as I've loved covering all sports, all I really ever wanted to do we'll just cover football. And, you know, I've had the idea to do something kind of like this for quite a long time, just didn't quite know how to go about doing it. And it's also a big leap. It's a scary move to make. And finally, you know, I got the guts to do it. I'd saved up some money to give myself a nice little runway to create something cool and decided to take that leap. So I quit my job and I'm going all in on the Raiders. It's Silver and Black Sports Network. And, you know, we're based in a newsletter and a podcast as well. If you guys go to silverandblacksportsnetwork.com, you can check it out. But It's been so much fun, man. Obviously, a ton of work. Like you said, you see all the content I'm putting out. But it doesn't quite feel like work because at the end of the day, I'm doing exactly what I've always wanted to do.
So this is really interesting. So I'm really excited for you because going out on your own is how great things happen in life. It's the entrepreneurial spirit to do it that way. But what do you believe that you're bringing differently? And not saying better than everybody else because there's a lot of good guys out there that do what we all do. But what is your hook on why Raider fans should find your platforms and what you're doing?
No, 100%. Everybody that covers the Raiders does such a great job. I think I bring a different perspective. I'm more of like an analytical stats guy. Mm-hmm. I love diving into that. You know, I played college football as well, so I've been in a lot of meetings, watched a lot of football over my time. So I feel like I can break the game down differently than a lot of people can, you know, and just have a different eye for what it's like to be in these guys' shoes. Obviously, I did not play in the NFL. I'm not trying to say that. I was a D2 receiver.
Ooh, do we lose him again? He's still there. Come on, Jesse. The phone ghost. We don't need the phone ghost. We had a hell of a show today. So we're going to try Jesse back one more time here and try to get him on the phone correctly here. We haven't had the phone ghost in a while. Remember we went through that stage? Oh, boy. We had the phone ghost where the wiring would kind of was on our end, and then the cell phones, the cell phone towers that are there. So we'll get him up here momentarily, and we'll get you through some of the breaking news today. Injuries in the NFL. Wow. Let's cross our fingers with the Raiders. Okay, Lonnie Johnson, we saw an injury. Let's cross our fingers that we don't have any injuries, because some players are going down throughout the NFL, and we don't want to see that here. We want the Raiders to be healthy going into that New England game. That New England game, Vrabel's going to have the Patriots riled up with Josh McDaniels ready to go, and we're going to have to go out there and be 100% healthy to match up with that. So Jesse Merrick's going to join us back here in a second. Nevada 5, Illinois 0, top of the fifth inning. So it's been all mountain, all Nevada in this game here as they try to extend their lead right here on Raider Nation Radio. All of the PTs, everybody that's here should be watching this if you get a chance to watch a stream and to be able to see this and check out what's going on here. 702-365-9200. And we don't have Jesse, so we have a bad phone line. Maybe we'll get him in studio next time, and we'll go about it that way. And that's about it on this end. So when we come back, we'll wrap up the show. I want to get the phone lines going. So let's get everybody else on the phones today, because we had a lot of interviews. If this is Jesse, we'll put him up one more time and get it going here as Jesse Merrick joins us. So no issues there, Jesse. You were talking about the different coverage, the analytics, being a former player, and what you see when you look at tape.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I think I just bring a fresh perspective to the table in that regard, you know, and I always try to have a lot of fun with it. And, you know, I try not to pull punches or anything like that. You know, I'm not going to rip people or anything, but, you know, I try and come at it all with respect and just kind of call it like I see it, you know?
Mm-hmm. What do you think of some of the big storylines? A lot of people are just dredging up in a good way. I think it's good content. Jackson Powers Johnson moving to right guard. Did you see that? Did you see anything with your content that said, you know, Pete's looking at the size and the body size of everybody here, and he might be better at guard instead of center here? I didn't see that coming, and when it did, it really got Raider Nation going.
Yeah, no, it definitely did. I don't think any of us saw it coming, especially in the offseason. Like, coming in, we probably all had Jackson Powers Johnson sharpied in as the starter at center. You know, even Jackson, he mentioned that he introduced himself to Ashton Jeanty as the starting center. You know, but I think when the staff went back and looked at the tape and really took a look at everything, they see Jordan Meredith. And look, when you talk to Jordan Meredith, you see how heady of a guy he is. Like, it's very clear to see how intelligent this guy is. And I'm not taking a shot at Jackson by saying how intelligent Jordan is and saying that Jackson's not intelligent. That's not where we're going with this. Mm-hmm. But it's just clear that Jordan is on a different level. So analytically, maybe they thought, okay, let's see what this guy can do, how it translates there. And he's not completely unfamiliar with playing center. He's done it at times throughout his career, you know, the preseason, things like that. And I think we heard from Adam Butler. He talked about Jackson Powers Johnson, and he even said that he thinks Jackson could be an all-pro right guard. Now, if somebody that's been in the league as long as Adam has says something like that, chances are the coaching staff saw something like that as well. And Jackson is such an aggressive player. Obviously, we've seen some issues with some penalties and stuff his first season, but if he cleans that up, like the physicality and the effort that guy plays with, if you can rein that in and do it at guard, that's going to be a game changer. So I think, too, really what they're trying to do wholesale along the offensive line is just get the five best guys out there. They probably don't feel amazing about any of the guys behind those starting five. So they're like, why would we leave Jackson at center when maybe, you know, Kappa or whoever ends up starting at right guard, when we feel like Jordan can get by there and be a really good center for us, and then Jackson would be the guy at right guard. And then right there, we've got our starting five that we feel comfortable rolling out there with. So to me, I think it's just all about getting the best group possible out there. And Jackson luckily has the versatility to play that position.
So, Jesse, I've been pointing out all this week that I think it's going to be, if there's one takeaway that you want to see in this game, and I'll go first, I just want to see forward penetration by the offensive line. I want to see them move the pile so Ashton Jeanty has a hole or two to try to hit a Raheem Mostert or Zeus. I want to see something happen with aggression where the offensive line is going forward. Is that fair to say? And what do you think that you want to see more than anything coming into Saturday?
100%. And mine is kind of twofold, just that battle in the trenches. Like, the Raiders need to win that battle in the trenches. And defensively, like, you have to be able to set edge, and you got to be able to tackle well. Like, obviously that wasn't the case in the preseason opener when the starting group was out there, or really for most of the first half. Like, that's something that has to change. At the end of the day, as cliche as it is to talk about the game being won in the trenches, it is. And we saw the issues that this team had running the ball last year. So for me, my number one is establish the run, move bodies, create room for Ashton Jeanty to do what he does, because he can only do so much. You know what I mean? Like, there's only so much that a running back can do back there, no matter how good they are. You got to give them some space to run. But defensively, same deal. You have to be able to stop the run and get some penetration. And again, more than anything, set that edge so that teams aren't running wild on you. You know, if you can't set the edge, it's going to be a really long day at the office. So that's something I need to see, you know, from this defense as well.
Jesse, one more time at Silver and Black Sports Network. Where do we go to follow? I'm seeing silverandblacksportsnetwork.com and all your other platforms. Tell us about it again.
Yeah, definitely. So the website, silverandblacksportsnetwork.com. You can find me on Twitter at JesseSBSN. Everything else, all the other socials are all Silver and Black Sports Network, whether that's Instagram, or on YouTube as well. We throw our podcast up there. I actually just got done taping it, so I'll be putting that up in the next hour or so. My takeaways from practice, we're talking a lot about Jack Besh. He obviously had a really big day at practice today, so make sure you guys tune in for that on YouTube. Again, that's Silver and Black Sports Network on YouTube.
I'll see you out there tomorrow, Jesse. Thanks for coming on.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks for the time, JT.
You got it. Jesse Merrick, follow him. I like a guy who quits his job and goes out on his own. I like that a lot. Okay, when people are able to do that, I've been telling you for years, wrote it in my book, The Handoff, do not be defined by your job. Don't ever be defined by your job. Be defined by the person you are. If you're a husband, you're a father, whoever you are, don't be defined by News 3LV or ESPN Radio or Fox Sports Radio. Don't be defined by that. Be defined on who you are. And you know, Jesse has a free newsletter also, Raider Nation, a guy here, PWNS, signed up for it, and that's why we're doing this. Right, Bobby? We're good to people, man. We want everyone to do well, almost everyone. Right? Well, Bobby, you shouldn't shake your hand like that. I mean, we want everybody to kind of do well. I mean, you know, we've done well for a long time here, man. We want other people to do well, too.
We want lots of people to do well, but not everybody.
Oh yeah.
There's a few.
Yeah, well, we'll keep that between us. Oh, we'll tell that to the chat, who we don't want to do well. I'm only joking. I want to say goodbye to the bricklayers. Do you want to become a bricklayer? You got to be on YouTube, and it's free. How many other pieces of content are free? Everybody's bundling everybody, charging you $13.99 or $19.99. This is free on YouTube, JT the Brick YT. So the rest of the week, very quickly. Tomorrow is Thursday. So we'll be at practice tomorrow, going with my family, excited by both my sons and my wife going to practice tomorrow. I got pictures of my kids at Raiders training camp when they were born. My youngest son, my youngest son's 22. I got pictures of him in the carry-on stroller at Raiders training camp. And other sons of my other son, John, I have pictures of him with Jack Del Rio, Khalil Mack, Derek Carr. Who else? Willie Brown, you know, all the guys. Just John Ritchie, Lincoln Kennedy. I mean, look, my kids were up to Lincoln Kennedy's knees when they were kids, and now they're up to Lincoln Kennedy's chin. Let's go, Summerlin South, up 5-0. We'll give you a recap on the game on the other side here. And then it's Raiders Alumni Weekend, so I'll be an MC for one of their big events on Friday. 200. Plus Raider alumni coming in. That's a clue to the Raider Nation. I'm not telling you where they're going to be. Not going to tell you what hotel rooms they're in and the room number. But there's a lot of Raiders coming in this week. The greatness of the Raiders is in its future, but the past of the alumni are unbelievable. So we're excited about that. I did say La Casa Cigars at Tivoli, but we got cut off at that point. They get the walk-in humidor, 7 nights a week entertainment. They are doing their grand reopening before they have the blowout reopening. Head on out to Tivoli Village and congratulate Mike for what he's doing over there to make your experience phenomenal with cigars and entertainment.
I think it's his intent to build relationships with guys. I do. I think, you know, I've been around some guys that they don't even want to look at you. They don't want to talk to you, which is great. That's how they do business. But I love Pete because he comes in with the same mentality every day. He's very positive. And secondly, it's genuine conversation. It's not, hey, this is a normal BS player coach conversation. It's genuine conversation about anything, life, football, girlfriend, whatever. And, you know, I think nowadays you're not seeing that too much, which is, it is what it is, but it's awesome to have him on here on this team to kind of rally us and build us together. And, man, we're blessed to have Pete here for sure.
Wow. That is Michael Mayer. Did he just tell you a lot about the past? Oh, boy. Did you hear that soundbite? Michael Mayer saying, we got a guy in here who really just wants to talk to you. What does that say about the past? I don't know. I mean, I don't have dinner with Big Mike, but he was basically talking about how this relationship with Pete Carroll is pretty important to him, as last year he was out for personal reasons. I've said this 100 times if I said it once. Why do we have him on this team if we're not going to use him? I'm assuming we're going to use him now. I really do. I assume we're going to use him and get him involved. Because wouldn't it be a shame if Michael Mayer got to year 5 and he's got like a total of 60 receptions on his entire career? I mean, come on. Let's get this guy going. Get him the ball. There's only one football. You got Ashton Jeanty, Brock Bowers, Jacoby Myers. But Michael Mayer needs to be used. And I hope that this regime uses him because I think they get him. I really think they understand that he's a good kid and he's a really good player. So, Ohtani, we're going to play an Ohtani home run, but I got a lot to say on this guy. This, according to several reports, there's a real estate scam going on in Hawaii that allegedly Ohtani's a part of with another agent. Remember, his interpreter, Ipe, was stealing all of Ohtani's money, and Ohtani claimed he knew nothing about it. Nothing about it. Millions of dollars coming out of his account. He knew nothing. And he said, on record, Ipe was not his interpreter. He was his best friend. Raise your hand and beep your horn if you thought your best friend was stealing from you. And now there's this real estate deal with Ohtani in Hawaii, where allegedly he put his name. Like he was going to buy a home there, and they were going to build something, and he was going to be the face of it, and that thing collapsed. So this Ohtani thing is getting interesting, but when he's playing baseball, he's absolutely brilliant.
And Kenley's 1-0 pitch. Swung on and hammered! Oh, my goodness! It's a home run for Ohtani! Down the right field line! Showtime in Anaheim! Dodgers lead it 6-5 on a ball that left the yard in a blink of an eye. A missile.
Okay, that's Tim Neverett, former Sports Fan Radio Network alumni there. So let me tell you something quickly that you're not going to hear much on the radio about, because the Dodger fans are everywhere. They're everywhere. They're in the building right now. Harry Ruiz could be listening. I mean, there are Dodger fans everywhere. If Dodger fans end up going to the wild card, they're going to lose their minds, okay? Because I don't want the Dodgers to win the World Series because I'm a Yankee fan. And if you're a Padre fan or a Brewer fan or a Cub fan, why would you want the Dodgers to win? Why? You don't want my Yankees to win, but if you're a Dodger fan, you want them to win. I get that. This Dodger team is now tied with the Padres. They've lost 6-10. The Padres have won 7-10. I'm telling you right now, if the Padres take the lead on the Dodgers, and the Dodgers get thrown into the wild card, woo-hoo! Watch out. Don't look at those Dodger fans in the eyes on the freeway if they're driving by you with the blue on the license plate. Don't make eye contact with them because they are going to be angry.
We'll have to bust out a call for Lee Hacksaw Hamilton at
that
point.
Yeah, we might have to get Dana Wagner, one of the deans of the newsmen, to call in because this is not good. Do you know the Milwaukee Brewers have 75 wins and the Dodgers have only 68? So if the playoffs started today and the Brewers played the Dodgers, I would pick the Dodgers to win. But the Brewers are a much better team now. But I think the Dodgers will probably get their act together at some point. Look at these young men from Summerlin South. Are they playing baseball or what? Summerlin South at the Little League World Series are really doing a nice job. They look to have this game in hand, but it's never over in Little League. Never over in Little League. My sons played Summerlin South Little League. When there was nothing over there, no houses at the Mesas, and now it's incredible. It's Summerlin South 6, Illinois absolutely nothing. That game is in the top of the sixth inning. So I'm excited about that, and that'll be good. Remember the title of my next book, Little League, where I met some of the best people in my life and some of the worst. No, I'm only joking. Oh, those Little League moms. Woo! Those Little League dads. Watch out. Oh, there's something. Oh, there's something. All want their kids on the All-Star team. Got to play club ball. Just sit back and let them play. Just sit in the outfield. Do it the right way. Just enjoy sports with your kids. Let them play and have fun. Take them for ice cream. Let them have fun. Take them to a game. Reach out to Raider Dad if you want to give up your tickets. Not sell them. Give them for free to Raider Dad for the preseason game. I'm thrilled with the show today. Thanks to Bobby and all of our guests. This is one I'll remember. Outstanding job by everyone. Q's up next with a great show as early. As always, have a great day, everyone. Raiders!
Raiders! Thanks, guys.